Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
Feel like you can't be yourself when you speak English? Do you feel unnatural? In today's episode, we will discuss why you feel this way and give you some valuable tips on how you can be yourself in English and sound natural. Plus, you will learn tons of vocabulary with us. Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Cassie from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
transformative
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're walking your dog, painting your nails, or
swiping for candidates on Tinder.
Oh, that's great. All right, guys. So today I'm joined in the global studio by Thiago. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Kase. Hey, everyone. I'm doing fine. How's it going?
All good this side. We're also joined by a very special guest. Welcome, Nia.
Hey, guys. Hi, Kase. Hi, Thiago. Glad to be here with you all today.
Nia, is this your first time on the podcast?
I believe it's my second time. I recorded one a while ago. But yeah, I'm super happy to be back.
You know, I'm not familiar with you. Maybe you could do a quick introduction.
Oh, I feel like an important person now.
You are.
Thanks. So guys, I'm Nia. I'm the teaching lab manager here at Real Life English. If you're not familiar with the teaching lab, we are a group of teachers and language experts who are always investigating the best way to bring new lessons and innovate in the way that we teach English to you all.
Oh, welcome, Nia. We're really, really happy to have you on today's special episode. All right, so before we get into today's topic, let's start off with some kick-ass quotes.
All right, guys, so today we brought to you two quotes here that are related to the topic we will be discussing today, all about how to feel natural when you speak English, how to be yourself. So the first quote that we brought is, "Knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom." I really like this quote because it talks about the importance of getting to know yourself better, really spending some time with yourself and learning about who you are, your personality traits, your strengths, your weaknesses. So that is one quote that we brought for you today. And Nia, Kase, what would you say about this quote? What do you think about it when you hear it?
I really like that quote because I feel it is a really difficult process to get to know yourself, to get to know how you are, how you behave, how you act in certain situations. But just by doing that, you were going to be able to be freer to make your own decisions.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. When I hear this quote, I actually think of, like, in order to really understand the world outside of yourself, you have to start by knowing yourself. And I think that this applies to different situations. So, for example, friendship. If you know who you are and you understand the kind of person that you are, it's easier to connect with like-minded people. But, for example, if I'm someone who I don't know who I am. I think I'm an introvert and I'm an extrovert and I like loud music, but I also like, I mean, you could be all of those things for sure. But if you know who you are, it's easier to find things that, you know, build you up, find people who make you a better person. You know, that's how I see it. It's really, like, it's a beautiful quote. Yeah.
By the way, Kase, you said, I think you used a nice phrasal verb there. It's something that builds you up. What does it mean to build someone up?
So if something builds you up, or if you build something up, you're making it better. You're improving it. So if I meet people who build me up, it's people who improve my life in some way.
Nice.
But Chiyoga, when you were reading this quote, I think the word wisdom stood out for me. What does that mean?
Yeah, wisdom is the knowledge, the experience that you acquire over the course of your life. And it's usually related to life experience, not related to textbook or the education that you get from school, you know? So, for example, it's possible for a person to be very wise and maybe not having gone to school, you know? Because, you know, wisdom is the knowledge and experience that you have that was acquired throughout your life, you know? So it's not particularly related to formal education. I usually think of an elderly person, like, you know, a grandpa, a grandma, you know, when we usually ask them for advice, you know, why do we ask them for advice? Because we think that they are wise, right? So I love this quote because, you know, it says that knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. So if you want to become a wise person yourself, the first step is getting to know yourself.
It actually is. I think often wisdom and intelligence and, you know, being a clever person, I think people confuse those words. I think it's quite common to confuse them. But like you just defined, like wisdom is totally separate to, like, you know, book smarts is another way to express mm-hmm. that. Like things that you learn in textbooks or you're learning in the classroom, wisdom is beyond that. It's separate. So, Nia, why don't you share the next quote?
Yeah, I'll be happy to. It's one that I really like as well. And it says, "The mind that opens up to a new idea never returns to its original size." And I think that's very true, right? Once you start to learn new things, you start to see the world through different points of views, you can never go back to the person you were before. You never see things the same way that you saw before. So I really like this one. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I agree with that. And we could transfer that to language learning, right? For a new language that you learn, it's like you are opening up to a new idea or a new perspective or a new way of communicating, you know, of expressing yourself. So once you do that, once you learn that second or third or fourth language, you are never the same as you were when you spoke just your native tongue, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I agree with that as well. When I think about it in terms of language learning, I think that, you know, everything that we learn adds something to us, to who we are and obviously our understanding of the world. So we're adding, you know, every new idea, everything we learn, you know, sort of builds our knowledge base, builds our, you know, the way that we perceive the world. It's always expanding. I think that's what I'm envisioning when I hear this quote, is that we're always growing, always expanding.
Most definitely. It's like as if we were adding layers, right, to who we are. I mm-hmm. see like each new language that you learn is a new layer that builds on top of the previous one. Yeah. So the more languages you learn, you become this more well-rounded person, and you are able to expand not only your consciousness, right, but your very own essence.
All right, guys. So with that said, let's jump right into today's main topic. Thiago, why don't you start us off?
Yeah. So before we start giving you guys some tips on how you can be yourself and how you can sound more natural in English, I think it's important to discuss a little bit the reason why you might feel insecure or you might feel unnatural when speaking English. So the question we have here is, why do people feel unnatural speaking English? One reason that comes to my mind is that many learners, they see language as a barrier, you know, something that prevents them from being themselves. But in truth, you should not see the language as a barrier, but as a powerful tool that can help you access different sides of yourself, you know, of your personality.
You mentioned the word barrier. What does that mean, Thiago?
Yeah, barrier is something that obstructs the passage or something that stands in your way and that prevents you from either getting ahead or getting to the other side. For example, think of a wall, right? If you're trying to get to the other side, the wall is acting as a barrier because it's making your going to the other side more difficult. And I think that that's the way that many learners view English, for example. Yeah, they view it as a barrier, yeah, as something that they have to overcome, you know. But in reality, it should be your ally, you know, your friend. Yeah, it's this tool that's going to help you grow as a person, as an individual.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And it's funny, right? To have this idea that the language is preventing you from achieving something when English is actually the way, right? Or the pathway for us to achieve better things in our lives, to expand our worldview. So I think that's the first mindset shift, I would say, that learners need to stop saying, oh, I can't do this because I don't speak English. Instead, they could, you know, think, I'm going to do this through English. I'm going to use English and I'm going to use, you know, the knowledge that I have today and build on that knowledge to be able to access something else, be it a piece of information, be it a new, you know, world perspective that you need to incorporate into your current worldview. And thus that will become a better part of who you are in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with that completely. I actually think of, you know, language being a barrier. I think of it like it's a challenge that I have to overcome. Oh, I have so much going on. I have my, you know, my work, my family. I have all these things that I want to do. And now I have to learn this language. I mean, you know, maybe it just feels like a burden, you know, in a way. It's something heavy to have to deal with. But the reality is, like Nia said, it's actually an opportunity. And it's about how you view that situation or even the wall that Chiago described. Like, I think of it as like, yes, maybe it is a wall, but maybe you have to try and like climb up over that wall. And once you get to the top of the wall, you're probably going to look at things a lot different. You're going to see the other side and you're going to be so happy that you made that effort to actually like scale the wall or climb that wall. All right, Nia, so why do people feel unnatural speaking English? What is another reason people feel that way?
I think that one of the reasons for that is that they are expecting to speak L2 exactly as they speak the L1. So they are expecting to sound, you know, in a certain way in English, the same way that they sound in Portuguese, in Spanish, in Arabic, yeah. You know, and that leads to frustration because when you're speaking English, your voice changes. It's really funny. If you guys record yourselves speaking both of your languages, you're going to listen to the audience and say, who's that person? Isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
Because it changes, you know, the way the sounds are articulated, the tone of voice, each language has its own particular set of components that make up for that language. So if you come, you know, to your classroom, to your daily practice, expecting that you are going to sound exactly the same as you do in your first language, or that you're going to be able to transfer exactly the same characteristics that you have in first language, that can lead to frustration and to this feeling of not feeling natural when you're speaking English.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Nia, you mentioned L1 and L2. Could you define those terms?
Oh, most definitely. Sorry, this is the teacher in me using some academic terms here. But yeah, L2 is the person's second language. So it's their foreign language. It's the language that they are learning. And L1 is their mother tongue, is their native language, in other words.
Yeah, what Nia is saying is interesting, guys, because each language has their own peculiarities, let's say, you know, so you can't expect English, for example, to be exactly the same as your native language. So having this openness to learn the sounds of English, the articulators, you know, how to articulate your mouth, your face in order to produce those sounds is very important. I think it's important to clarify here that it doesn't mean that you have to completely lose your native accent, right? Or that you have to sound like a native speaker. It's not that. But the point is being open and flexible to learn maybe different sounds or ways of expressing things that you don't have in your native language, right? So I guess that's the main point here.
Mm. If you buy a brand new pair of shoes, you've never worn that type of shoe before. It's something different. It's a different design, a different style of shoe. And so at first, when you put your feet into it, it's uncomfortable. It feels like it's difficult to, you know, spend all day wearing it. It feels a little, it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel right. But the more you wear it, the more, you know, you walk around and you, you know, figure out, you know, how to match it with different outfits, the more confident you get wearing these shoes when you go out. I feel like that's the same thing with language. Like the more you do it, the more comfortable you get, the more, you know, maybe people give you compliments like, oh, nice shoes. You start to feel confident. Mm-hmm. And then you start forgetting about, you know, that initial feeling of like discomfort that you had in the beginning. I think it's kind of like that with
mm-hmm. That's a great example, yeah.
And I think that's a really great analogy because it connects with another reason why people may not feel that comfortable, right? Because when they put on these shoes and they start to match their outfits, they're matching with who they are, with their personality, right? And I feel like sometimes learners can't feel natural in English is because they feel that they can't show their true colors, who they really are in that language. And that's why they see the language as a barrier instead of seeing it as an opportunity. They cannot be their full selves. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever heard that from learners, that they felt like they couldn't show their personality in English?
Yeah, I've had a couple of students who felt that it was really difficult for them to be their authentic selves. And by that, I mean like be who they are naturally. So for example, I have a student who he loves to make jokes. He's always, you know, saying something funny or trying to be humorous in some way or another. And he finds difficulty making jokes in English, or he questions himself. He's like, is this really funny in English? If I say it this way, is this, you know, maybe offensive? So it's that kind of thing that I've seen with students.
Yeah, this difficulty to show their true colors, as Nia said, right? By the way, Nia, that's a great expression. What does it mean to show your true colors?
To show your true colors is to show your personality, to show who you are, your true self in that sense.
Mm-hmm, great. Yeah, it reminds me of that famous 80s song by Cyndi Lauper, you know, ooh, True Colors. It's a great song.
Great, yeah.
So another reason here that we can think of, guys, is not being able to talk about things that are near and dear to you, right? So that's another possible reason why you might feel unnatural or like you can't be yourself, because you are not able to talk about things that are near and dear to your heart, let's say.
What does that mean, Thiago, if something is near and dear to you?
Yeah, when something is near and dear to you, it's something that you really like to learn about, read about, study about, or do, right? So basically the topics, the things that you like, right? Kelsey mentioned her student, for example, who loves to make jokes, right? So for example, we can say that jokes and humor is something that is very near and dear to him, yeah? So anything that you like to do, that you enjoy doing, we can say that these things are near and dear to you.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it's exactly that when it comes to things that aren't, I mean, it doesn't only have to be things related to your personality. It could be other activities that you enjoy. For example, maybe I love gaming and I want to connect with other gamers around the world, but I don't know how to describe these things in English because I've been using my native language all along. When I see someone, an English speaker, I don't have conversations with them because I'm afraid of, you know, making mistakes, and I'm afraid that they won't understand me because of my accent.
Yeah, I totally see that. It must, you know, it is really frustrating not being able to share with others something that is really important to you, right? It's almost like there's always this missing piece, right, of who you are. Like, let's imagine that you are a dancer and all of a sudden you cannot actually show yourself as a dancer because you wouldn't be able to explain what that means to you. So yeah, it's really frustrating for learners. But I wonder, like, what could we do in a situation like this? I think that connects us with our next topic here, which is the tips on how they can be themselves and feel more natural in English.
All right, so let's jump into these tips on how to be yourself in English and feel more natural. So the first tip on how you can be yourself in English and feel more natural is to view learning a new language as an opportunity to access different sides of your personality. So for example, I think you guys would agree, being Brazilian, but I think Portuguese, especially Brazilian Portuguese, is a very, I don't know, it's such a rhythmic language. I feel like, and I guess Brazilians are very, I don't know, very sunny and generally, generalizing, but very sunny and warm. I think it's like I don't know, I'm just generalizing here, but this is my impression. So when I started learning Portuguese, I always felt when I'm practicing Portuguese, I feel that side of me that's connected to that warmth and that rhythm when I'm speaking Portuguese and when I'm practicing it. So I find the side of my personality that when I'm speaking English, it's harder for me to sort of tap into naturally. But when I'm practicing Portuguese, I find that it's a lot easier because it's sort of like a cultural aspect of the language that I've sort of taken on. So I find that for me, it's that. What do you guys think about this point?
That's so funny because for me, it happened exactly the opposite. Not because of Portuguese being a warm language in a sense or something, but because I was afraid of being silly in Portuguese, you know, and I would be, I don't know, shyer in my own first language. So when I started speaking English, and especially when I started teaching English, I kind of unlocked this side of my personality in which I was, you know, funnier, more welcoming in a sense, because I wasn't blocked by, you know, what other people would think of me as I did when I spoke my first language, because it's almost like that impression, they are really gonna understand me. What if I tell a joke and they don't laugh? It's not because they didn't understand the language, because they did, right? It's because it was really not funny. And in English, you always sort of like, you know, I could get away. It's like, if people are not laughing, maybe they didn't understand, or maybe I didn't tell it right or something. And then we could laugh from this situation itself, right? So it's really funny how, you know, we navigated these different sides of our personality just by speaking another language.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. I like what Cassie said about each language having a different feel. And I do agree with that. Each language has a certain feel to it, you know. When Cassie mentioned about Brazilian Portuguese, you know, that it sounds warm and friendly. I mean, maybe there is some truth to that. Yeah, because as a whole, Brazilians are known to be warm, friendly people, right? But just to give you an example related to English, right? As a Brazilian, I find English much more objective as a language than Portuguese. You know, Portuguese is not as objective as English is. But because I speak English now, I am able to access that side of my personality, which is to be more objective. So in a sense, I could say that I've learned to become more objective as a person because of English, because Portuguese is not as objective as English is.
Yeah, that's something I still have to learn.
Can you give me an example? I'm really curious about this point that you're making.
Yeah, I think one example could be the vocabulary range, right? Because in Portuguese, we usually have a specific word for everything, you know? In English, it's not quite like that. I feel like, you know, we kind of use the same words repeatedly, but in different ways. You know, so it's much simpler in that sense. For example, we have a word for meatball in Portuguese, you know, for meatball, which is almôndega, right? That's the name in Portuguese, right? Almôndega. But that is a word that we only use in that context. Now, let's look at English, for example. We have meatball. We call it meatball because, well, it's a ball made of meat. But notice that the words meat and ball are used in other contexts as well in English, not just when you talk about that type of food, you know. So this simplicity that English has, I think, also influences your personality a little bit.
I really never thought about it before, and I think that it's a really interesting point. Yeah, could be another real-life English lesson, to be honest.
Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language. each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode.
So Nia, can you share another tip on how English learners can be themselves in English and feel more natural?
Sure. I think like the main thing I can tell then is like, don't take yourself so seriously. Embrace that silliness that you may encounter when you are speaking a second language, almost as if you were back to being a child again. That is okay, right? It's totally fine if you are making mistakes, if you are, finding your way around the language, if you are experimenting with the language and, looking back at people's reaction, you learn from those interactions as well. You don't need to come to a conversation feeling like, oh, I'm gonna, ace this conversation. I'm gonna sound perfect. People are think that, this is my language from birth. No, it's an opportunity. There's, there's a chance for you to learn from those interactions. So don't take yourself so seriously.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Nia, you used a couple of nice words there. You said embrace the silliness. So what does that mean, to embrace something and silliness?
So to embrace something is like when you accept something, you accept a certain situation, you accept, something from your personality, you are embracing it. And silliness is a lighter way of saying stupid, just like a kid, when a kid is, playing around, behaving, telling those, kids jokes. You don't tell a kid that they are acting stupid. They say that they are being silly. And, when you say embrace the silliness, that's what you're saying. Accept that sometimes you're not going to sound super serious and super, smart when you're speaking a new language, just like a child. So it's about that.
Yeah, just to give you guys an example about that, I've had students in the past who really struggled with the TH sound, Maybe they felt silly, but you shouldn't let this kind of stuff get in your way, right? Because again, going back to the beginning, right? It's important to embrace the fact that you are learning a new language. It is different from your first language. And there will be some sounds that don't exist in your first language.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I do think that the TH sound is a common one, right? And the THR, the consonant cluster, I think there is a little bit difficult for a lot of non-native English speakers to replicate that.
And it's funny, right? Because it's a sound that doesn't have in many languages, right? So you have to, educate your body to make that sound. I used to tell my students, when you have, something on your teeth and then like you don't have a floss or something and you just make that, efforts to mm-hmm. clean it. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to do to be able to make your body understand that you're trying to make that sound. And, most students found that to be silly, doing that type of exercise in the classroom. But you can really see the results. So sometimes you do have to go in that path of doing something that you feel that's not, right, or that's going to make you feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. because that's the way that you're going to master something, which I think it brings to another point, another tip that we can give learners. Tiago, I was going to ask you about, it's not easy to be silly. It's not easy to feel stupid, right? You need to be open to being vulnerable in that sense, right? Mm-hmm. Can you expand a little bit more on that?
Yeah, we have been discussing about that lately, right, guys, in the teaching lab. This idea of vulnerability that equals courage, which then equals confidence, right? So if you want to become confident, first you got to be willing to be vulnerable or to show your vulnerabilities. In fact, I would argue that exposing or showing your vulnerability is the ultimate form of courage because it shows that you are so confident and comfortable in who you are that you're not particularly worried you know, by what other people will think of you if you demonstrate some sort of silliness or vulnerability, right? But the cool thing is that if you embrace that vulnerability more often, you will become braver and more courageous. And the more you develop your courage, the more confident you become, in this case, speaking English. What would you guys say about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that, you know, for me, when I think about the vulnerability, it's like acknowledging and realizing that my mistakes don't define me and that I'm human. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a perfect person. And when it comes to language learning, I think it's that, like, we have to accept that this is a process. No one is born a perfect speaker, even in your native language, you're not born perfect. You probably made mistakes. You probably, you know, failed some tests along the way. We're not perfect. And then from there, once you embrace that, you sort of feel, it's almost like being okay with with not being perfect. I think that's the point. Like, you're vulnerable enough to admit and acknowledge that you're not perfect. So in that process, you start to feel not comfortable, but like courageous. You feel that like it's okay. And when you start to feel like courageous, what we mean by courageous, you know, obviously it could be like a hero, you know, in a movie, you're, you know, having the courage to do something. But it's usually more someone who doesn't think that they can do something, you know, actually making that effort to do it. That is courage. And like taking that first step to like, you know, do something that will probably, you know, be difficult and challenging, but it's going to have a great positive impact in the long run. And then as you keep doing this, as we mentioned before, you're going to start feeling more confident. And the more you do something, mm-hmm. the more confident you get. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, that's great. This reminds me of another 80s song, you know, it's by a band called Human League, I guess. Human League or the Human League. And they have a song called Human. And the chorus goes, I'm only human of flesh and blood I'm made. And then human, born to make mistakes. You know, it's a great song, by the way.
I like it.
Should definitely link that into the show notes.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
All right, so before we continue this really fascinating conversation, I think we should move on to a shout out from one of our dear listeners.
The shout out today goes to Feas. They say, this is indisputably the best source to leap advanced level. I've plateaued for a long time. However, I made a huge stride after consistently and intently listening to the podcast that you provide us. Whenever I listen to the podcast, I lost track of time. I can't help but binge listen. Therein lies the beauty that keeps me motivated. The most crucial thing that you can do when you acquire new things in your journey is make the most of it. Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Feyaz. I think that was a really, really awesome shout out. And Feyaz used some really interesting words there. Tiago, what does it mean to make great strides?
Yeah, that's a nice expression. It's an idiom that means to make progress. So if you make great strides, you make progress. Yeah.
He also mentioned the phrase binge listen. Nia, what does it mean to binge listen?
To binge means to do something over and over and over again, almost, you know, excessively. So when they say that they binge listen, it means that they listen to one episode after the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, you know, you can binge almost anything. You could binge eat, you could binge drink, you could binge watch, you could... yeah, like Nia said, to do a lot of something, you know, maybe too much of something at one time, in one sitting or in one go. Another interesting phrase here is to make the most of something. Tiago, what does it mean?
Basically, it means to enjoy a situation to the fullest, you know, to the best of your abilities. So, for example, if you are watching a movie, try to enjoy and make the most of it. Like, you know, really be present with your family or your friends watching that movie. Don't be thinking about something else. So when you make the most of something, you are fully present in that moment and you are completely enjoying it.
Ah, awesome. So it's like, you know, I remember when we spoke about Dead Poets Society and seizing the day, you know, making the most of that moment, that opportunity that you have. It's like that. It's like taking advantage of that present moment and the opportunities that you have in that moment. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much again, Fayaz. And if you guys want us to shout you out on the next podcast, just head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. This also helps other people have fun learning with us.
Okay, everybody. So to conclude this podcast episode today, we're going to, each one of us now will give you another tip, right? An extra tip here. So check it out. The first tip for you to sound more natural is identify the topics that are near and dear to you and practice speaking about them. So reflect a little bit. Reflect on the things you like to do. For example, if you like humor, if you like jokes and comedy, definitely learn specific vocabulary and specific jokes you can tell, right, in English. If you are into sports, if you are a sports lover, learn about sports in English. Learn the vocabulary you need to discuss that topic. So the point here is finding the topics you love and learning how to talk about them in English. You might need to learn some specific vocab for that, but that's the point. In my case, for example, I love music, right? So it makes sense for me to, you know, learn specific vocabulary related to albums and releases, singles, instruments, you know, because it's something near and dear to me. So that's my tip for you, okay? Identify your favorite topics.
That's amazing because I think it connects to our second tip, which is live your English. That means learn about the things you like. And while you're learning about the things you like, what not doing then in English, right? Again, if you are into music, learn about music in English. And once you do that, you can, you know, join groups of people to talk about such things. There are, you know, see if there are meetups in your town, join Facebook groups, social media, and this will make you feel more comfortable and confident. It's almost like you're gonna find your own tribe to, you know, discuss the things that you like and to learn from people who have similar interests you do.
Totally. All right, so the final tip that we have for you guys today is to know thyself. And thyself is an old-timey or old-fashioned word that means yourself. And you might hear this in classic literature or some old movies. And I think that it's important. This point is very important. Know thyself. Know who you are. Know yourself. And it means to identify the main traits about yourself that you would like to show other people when speaking English. So, for example, if you want to show people that you are an academic, you are someone who loves discussing academic subjects and topics about, you know, really, you know, broad, you know, intellectual conversations. If you know that this is who you are and you want to show people how smart you are when you're speaking English, then this helps you to align your goals. So now you need to, you know exactly the kind of English that you need to practice. I think it sort of goes back to your why in some sense, right, guys? Like, I think it really ties in with your why. If you know yourself, then you know why you're learning English. And automatically, I know we're talking about the traits about yourself, but it all connects because if you know why you're learning it and you know that, you know, you want to, you know, go and study at a university in the US, for example, you know that you want to become a musician like Thiago. I think if you know that specific goal and that trait about yourself that you want other people to see, then you can align your habits to the goal, and you know it will become a lot easier for you to achieve it. So you know it's twofold, because it's knowing yourself, and then at the same time we're saying the traits you would like other people to see in you, right? So it, those two go together. First you start with yourself, and you then work outward to, you know, what you want others to see about you. So yeah, start with why, guys. Start with why.
Very well said.
Yeah, it was really lovely having a conversation with you both. I think that this was a great topic to discuss, and I hope that our listeners will find it helpful.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. I really enjoyed being here with you guys today.
Likewise.
So if you enjoyed today's episode, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can also suggest a topic for future episodes. So stay tuned for next week's episode, and we're looking forward to seeing you then. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our three-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.